This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Dan Hurley. Moving, especially when it wasn't your idea or choice, is hard. But that's exactly what the Clifton Cultural Arts Center, the CCAC, faces. The center moved out of the old Clifton School into temporary quarters 2 weeks ago. What is it looking for in a new home? And what are the options? To discuss the future of the CCAC, we are joined today by the Executive Director of the Clifton Cultural Arts Center, Leslie Mooney, and artist and curator, Yvonne Van Aden, who has worked with the Clifton Cultural Arts Center for over 8 years and is the chair of the CCAC's Golden Ticket Exhibit Committee. To join our discussion, you can call 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Welcome to Cincinnati Edition. Really good to have you here today.
Thank you.
So, Leslie, let's just start. You have moved.
That's correct.
Actually, I went by the school yesterday and wasn't quite sure. So you have moved.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you, and how many places are you?
Well, we're all over. So the good news is that we are continuing everything that we've ever had, from classes to exhibits to programs and community events. But we are doing it out of a series of satellite locations, and so our home base, our offices, and a couple of classrooms are over actually on Short Vine. We're sharing some space in an actually 1880s Samuel Hannaford design building with the UC's Niehoff Studio.
Oh, with the Niehoff Center.
That's okay. Right. That's right. Same building. We're occupying a couple different floors in there.
And then can you use that big floor on the first level?
Street
level?
Yes. We have one street level room all to ourselves where we're having lots of classes. And then there's some shared space actually that we'll be able to have some exhibitions and, having some program. Actually, we'll be having one of our sunset salons in the actual Niehoff studio that will be on a timely topic of urban design and planning. So, and that'll be coming up next March. But yeah, so and then we have classes running out of a couple different churches in Clifton. So very near to where we were located. So we can continue to serve the school children primarily at Fairview Elementary there on Clifton Avenue. So the Bethel Church and then the Clifton United Methodist Church will house some of our classes and most of our programs, and then art exhibits are all over. All of this is on our website, and that's probably the best place to look for addresses and all that kind of good stuff. But I just highlight that we have the opening reception actually this week, this Friday, of our community art show, which is an annual show. But this year it's at the Avondale Business Center. So you'll see that as the theme of all of our locations being within the uptown neighborhoods of Avondale, Clifton, Coryville, Cuff, and Mount Auburn.
In this interim period, what's really the challenge for an organization that people associated as really being rooted one place? It's going to be someplace else, but now it's this interim period. What's at stake for you here?
Well, everything is, and we are working very hard. I mean, there's 3 full-time staff of CCAC and lots of really wonderful, dedicated volunteers like Yvonne and many others who have built CCAC. And it's important that people know that we, like I said, are continuing everything we've ever done. It's just the opportunity, right, is that we're taking things and our programs out to the communities that we've always served, but even opens up new doors to serve new people and expose them to CCAC's programs and events and classes and so forth.
So there's opportunities there.
There's lots of opportunity. Challenge, as one might expect, is in logistics, is letting people know where things are happening, for sure. And, with a small staff and volunteers, is getting everybody to cover all the different places.
Yvonne, from an artist's perspective, what did you really like about the old Clifton School, and what would you like to see incorporated, brought forward from that, or let's take a look at the other side, improved in whatever new space might be created?
That's a good question, because approved is a nice way, because I love the Clifton Arts Center in the old building, because you could have beautiful exhibitions there. But if we have a chance for a new building, if the stars are lined up right, then you can have really a professional gallery, and that would be a really win-win situation.
And what would a professional gallery mean in this situation?
That you have good lighting, that's the most important part, and a good floor and a good ceiling.
And a good ceiling.
And that doesn't interact with the artwork on the wall.
And air conditioning?
That would be very nice.
There's been some events I was at.
Yes. Everybody was fighting to stand in front of the fans.
So, you know, and in art, climate control is important. So it's not, I don't want to make fun of that. I mean, I think it is one of those
things. Because some of the pieces we couldn't hang because it was too humid. Yeah.
You've always had a close relationship with the schools. Now, the Cincinnati Public Schools, you were right across the street from the German bilingual school, but you've always had relationships with schools in Avondale and other places. One, will that continue? And two, I sort of have a question because I don't see it exactly on your website. Do you also have collaborations with some of the private schools that are in your area? So, for example, Annunciation or DePaul Cristo Rey that aren't part of Cincinnati Public?
Yes, yeah. So the first question there, we will absolutely continue to do lots of programming with the schools that we've been community learning center partners for. So, for instance, tomorrow night I'll be at Rockdale Academy in Avondale having our fourth season now of Rockets to Robots, which is a program that's STEM plus arts that we have done with Fairview, Rockdale, and South Avondale kids. And it has been in the past held at our facility, but this year we're taking it out to those three different schools. We've had over the years.
So each of the schools will have its own program?
We will take that program to the three different schools throughout the school year. So there'll be one coming up this week, then there'll be three more over the next several months. Mm-hmm. And one of the big pieces of that program, the big impetuses for that program, is very much in line with our mission of bringing the unique geographical situation that we find ourselves in, of kind of being at a crossroads of different neighborhoods with very diverse populations, both racially and socioeconomically and so forth. And that's something that no matter where we end up permanently or how we transition through this next couple of years, that will stay at the forefront of our mission and who we are and what we do. So, yes, so we will continue to act as community learning center partners for those different schools, bringing Fairview kids and Rockdale kids and South Avondale kids and their families together for a shared experience in the case of that particular example. And then as far as working with other schools, we have given scholarships to and served kids last year from about 26 different schools. And of course, Annunciation and DePaul Cristo Rey being so close to us, although they pull, of course, from kids from all over, those kids are participating in a lot of the classes that we offer. And in the case of Annunciation, they've been part of with Fairview. We've always had a young emerging artist exhibition at the end of the year, and they've always been a part of that really for the last 8 or 9 years.
You know, that diversity that Leslie was just talking about, because of the situation and because of the mission and goals of the organization. You, Yvonne, serve as a curator, not just as an artist, but sometimes curating exhibits, bringing them together, figuring out how to bring things together, how to present them. Is that been one of the goals, to make sure that diversity gets reflected in the programs and in the exhibits that are done?
Absolutely, because we were just talking about that. What for me as an outsider when I came in, the most beautiful thing what I saw when we had art shows, that the kids who were in other different programs, they would come and they would look at the paintings and would act towards the paintings. And I think sometimes those kids, they see paintings for the first time who normally maybe don't have a chance to go to a gallery or to a museum. Mm-hmm. I was like, I told Leslie, next time when I do a show, I want to have those kids as part of the opening, because it was so beautiful. They are so engaged. They're not, you know, grown-ups, they have intellectual ideas. Kids, they just respond.
Which can be refreshing.
Very refreshing.
Not to over-intellectualize things.
Right.
Some of us are burdened by that. anywhere. Leslie, the whole question of moving forward. You've had a task force that has been working on this. I'm not going to go through all the people on the task force. Pretty impressive group of people. Mix of Clifton people and people that I'm not sure if they're Clifton, but they represent some really interesting connections in town. How have you tried up till this point to put together the process that's going to lead you to a permanent new place?
Yeah, well, I appreciate that question because it's been a very deliberate process. We started with our board of directors really outlining a set of guiding principles. That was the very first step of what's important, what has been a part of our existence and our vision and what's worked, you know, in the growth. We really saw rapid growth that I think surprised almost everybody, including maybe ourselves, in the first year we served maybe 8,000 or 9,000 people. The last 3 years we've served right around 40,000 people. First year we offered 6 classes. Now we're offering about 70. There's been a lot of growth, and so we want to make sure that we're in a spot that can accommodate that, so that we can continue to serve the very diverse populations of Uptown and. That also then informs where we're looking, right? So, and then after we established the guiding principles, then we brought together this task force. And it really was to help evaluate the number of sites that had either been suggested to us or, we'd found in different ways against the guiding principles that we had established. So that's really been the process as it's worked over the last, in this point, we're kind of at about a year.
Okay. Leslie, picking up on that question of criteria, what are the criteria for a new site? And then I want to talk a little bit about funding, and then I want to talk about sites. Mm-hmm. So what are the criteria that you're looking for?
So, it's really kind of in a few different buckets, but I'd say that very high on the list is what I started talking about a little bit before the break, which is serving the diverse populations of Uptown. And so, our current stats kind of break down to that we serve the audience of about 57% Caucasian, 33% African American, 10% Hispanic, and 3% Asian. And that is very indicative and very representative of the 5 neighborhoods of what's considered Uptown Cincinnati. And so that is important to us.
So you think of Uptown, not just Clifton.
Correct.
Or not just Clifton and Clifton Heights, but Uptown as your area.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I mean, we've worked very hard to establish relationships in those other 4 neighborhoods of Coryville and Cuff and Avondale and Mount Auburn, as well as, of course, Clifton. And because of where we've been geographically located, that has worked out, and that makes it a much richer and better experience. And so that's very important to us, wherever we end up, that we can continue to be in a location that serves a very diverse population.
Does that mean, because your old location was pretty much not in the business district, but in a very heavily traveled Clifton Avenue, mm-hmm. people heading through Clifton, pretty central location. Does that mean you don't necessarily have to be in the center of Clifton? You could be in one of these other communities?
Well, so what we've, where we were, right, exactly, was at the top of Wolper Avenue, which comes up, of course, from the zoo and from Avondale, and then right beside a school and a recreation center. And so it made a nice, campus there for after school programs and classes. And so that's important, too. And on the question of, we had said, actually, our guiding principles, which are online, say, I can't quote them exactly, but basically that we will look in Clifton, and certainly we'd like to honor the, many Clifton donors and volunteers. I mean, certainly the majority of the board is from there and be able to stay in Clifton. But so we said stay near Clifton if possible, which is pretty general. But that's the honest truth. I mean, Clifton is also – you can drive through Clifton and see how many
– Let me ask 2 different kinds of financial questions. And Yvonne, I don't want to get totally focused on Leslie. So
no, but it's smart when you're financial. It's better talking with Leslie.
Chime in anytime. But 2 things. One, on the capital side. Mm-hmm. You invested money – the organization invested money in – the old Clifton School, which now was pulled back
right.
By the public schools. Were you made whole for what you had invested in the school?
Well, so, I mean, it was all dictated toward by the lease, which we CCAC's board, but, you know, hundreds of donors invested about $2.6 million just in the capital improvements. That doesn't include any program and operating costs, of course, that were donated over the years. And so of that 2.6, we got back almost 1.5. So it was on an amortized rate. We were in the building for about 8.5, 9 years. And, you know, we leave it much better than we found it. We put in a fire suppression system and an elevator and upgraded a lot of the building. And so, you know, we will take that money that CPS reimbursed us for those improvements. And certainly that will be part of, you know, the
but probably not finance. Cover the cost of a new location.
No, no. Yeah. That's okay. Pretty definitive.
Secondly, on an operational level, where does your funding come from?
Well, we are certainly members of – we're impact grantees of the ArtsWave program and Ohio Arts Council's sustainability grants. But, you know, just like most nonprofits, most of our donations come from individual donors. We do anywhere in the last 3 years, it's been anywhere from as low as 30% to almost 40% of our income has come from earned revenue. So in our old building, we did have a lot of space. That was a 53,000 square foot building. And so we were able to make some revenue from renting for private events and that kind of thing. That's not necessarily something that we see that we will have going forward or want to have. But the vast majority of it comes from individual donations.
Okay. So now let's talk about sites. There's been a lot of discussion out there. First off, how close are you to selecting a site? Are selecting and or making an announcement about a site. And if you want to make it here, it's okay with me.
Oh, if only. If only yeah. I could. No, we're going through the process. You've probably heard or read about our proposal that's before the park board to potentially relocate into Burnett Woods. In fact, I believe there was a conversation in this location about that some months ago. And so the park board has said the process is essentially community engagement, which they've had now 3 different sessions on that, and then an environmental assessment. And so that's really where we are right now, is that we are going to, with the park board, work to select a firm and look at assessing so that we really can have all the facts, not just CCAC and the park board, but the public also, so that we're all, you know, facts are important, facts matter. I think it's good for us all to know what really would be the impact of CCAC's 8,500 or so square footprint in Burnett Woods.
So Burnett Woods, you brought that up. I didn't. That's still pretty much top of mind.
Yes.
Okay. I got a email from somebody you may know, Stan Hedin, who's retired from Xavier as the head of the biology department, is a well-known local biologist and environmental historian as well. And he says, to preserve Burnett Woods, the park board in the 1990s blocked a proposal to move the Clifton Branch Public Library into the park. Burnett Woods has since grown in value as a natural area. Why should the park board now allow an arts facility to construct an even larger building in an irreplaceable urban green space?
Well, I think that's all good questions and concerns. And I would say about the concerns that have been brought forth in that I am very appreciative and I did not expect it to be anything else than that. I've lived in Clifton not as long as most people, but for 10 years. So I've been around long enough to know that change is difficult and sometimes shouldn't happen. And sometimes there are, but in any case, projects are made better by lots of people's input and concerns being heard. And that, I think that's why it's really important to do this environmental assessment, because I think we really need to know what the current condition of the park is ecologically and otherwise. And then we really would know what impact we can have. And what we've said also is that there can be creative solutions. There's been a number of community conversations, but I don't think we've really had an opportunity to get to some real creative problem solving or solution making in that. You know, for instance, there's a lot of pavement within Burnett Woods that the park board would actually maybe like to see not there, you know. So is there pavement that we can build on? Or if we build elsewhere, can that come up and be turned back into either grass or tree or native plants or green space? So I think there's different discussions to be had, but I think really it's all going to be informed by the environmental assessment.
Yvonne, one of the principles in that it was laid down about the site, wherever it may be, was that there be an indoor-outdoor component to this. From an artist's point of view, from a curator's point of view, how do you react to that? Would you really like to have that indoor-outdoor capability?
Yeah, I think that would be so special. Again, for the same reason I was saying that the kids were dancing in front of the paintings. I think the kids who come to the park, but they're also part of the community center, would be such a rich, rich quality. I mean, my idea, and I have the feeling there's a lot of miscommunication about the big building, what's going to be in Burnett Woods, because what Leslie just was saying, that they rent out a lot of space, but you don't have to do that. You just can make a smaller green building with a green roof and with plant trees. And I think a lot of kids who normally don't go to the park could go to the park. And a lot of people right now are afraid to go in the park. It's a little, it's a lot of drug people in the park pick up. But anyway, that's not my point to talk about. But as an artist, I think it would be so enrichment. And if you just look in Europe, so many parks have art center. It's not like a cafe or a restaurant. It's you make a connection with your surrounding.
What's the timeline?
So the park board, this assessment's going to take a number of months. So I think the park board's not going to make a decision before the end of this year. So, I think it's going to take through the fall and winter to do the assessment. And then, of course, we'll have both CCAC, we'll look at that, and then the park board as well. I think that would take us into next year.
Next year.
Mm-hmm.
So late winter, early spring. Is that what we're talking about?
Yes, I think so. Yeah. I do want to just mention, too, that the task force, having come to the point where we presented this before the park board, had a lot to do with the existing master plan for the Cincinnati Park. So it was done, the Centennial Master Plan, which was done and completed in 2007, calls for things like, it was interesting when I was reading it for the very first time, long before I ever made a proposal or put any of this together. I literally was highlighting something on every page of this fairly lengthy document about promoting diversity and celebrating wide variety of cultural experiences. So, that's who CCAC is. That's what the park said they wanted to do. Providing regular, daily, weekly, and monthly programming that enriches civic life. So those types of things that really are about being people's third place. And that's exactly who CCAC is. Has always been and wants to continue to be. And so the similarities there is why I think that this proposal makes sense.
Third place. What do you mean by that?
Yeah. So there's home, there's work for a lot of people,
okay.
And then their third place. What is their third place?
Okay. We just had a caller call in and ask about what the, because I used it in the beginning, the Golden Ticket Show.
Oh.
What is that? And what's the deadline to get involved and whatever?
I want to take that. So it's the Golden Ticket is a juried exhibition. This is our ninth year of doing it, and Yvonne is the volunteer co-chair of that. And so this year's the deadline. All of this information is on our line, but this year's show will actually be held at the Trailside Nature Center in Burnett Woods. And the deadline to enter is coming up September 29th. The show itself will take place from November 2nd.
Yeah, that's the opening, November the 2nd. And it will be a challenge because we used to have that big building, and we have now a smaller building with a lot of windows.
so more selectivity.
So the jurors, they have to see the building and to make
and
a
we've,
selection.
And we've asked people, artists, to respond specifically to nature and the park.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
And
well,
to the building also.
Well, I want to thank both Leslie Mooney and Yvonne Van Aden for being with us today.
Thanks for listening to this podcast of Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives of our programs are available on the website, wvxu.org. I'm Dan Hurley.